WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. It's Soul Music Week on Fresh Air. Today we hear from some songwriters, producers, and session musicians who created the soul sound of Stax Records in Memphis and the Muscle Shoals Studio in Alabama. First, Dan Penn, a songwriter and session guitarist, who was one of the key figures behind the scenes in Memphis and Muscle Shoals.
Take me to heart, and I'll always love you. And nobody can make me do wrong.
My guest Dan Penn co-wrote Do Right Woman, as well as I'm Your Puppet, Dark End of the Street, and Cry Like a Baby. Otis Redding, Percy Sledge, Solomon Burke, Arthur Alexander, and Aretha Franklin are among the singers who did his songs. I spoke with Dan Penn in 1994, after he released a CD called Do Right Man, on which he sang his own songs.
Yeah, yeah. They say that it's a man's world. Honey, you can't prove that by me. And as long as we're together, baby, show some respect for me. If you wanna do right, home day, woman, you gotta be a do.
Dan Penn co-wrote that with Chips Moman. They gave Aretha Franklin Do Right Woman when producer Jerry Wexler of Atlantic Records took her to record in Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Jerry loved it. Aretha heard it. She liked it. But they both said, it doesn't have a bridge. It needs a bridge. And I agreed. So we headed for the closet, three of us, while the band was learning it. And we wrote the bridge, Aretha, Jerry, and I. They say that it's a man's world. All of that.
Now, the way the story, as I've read it, goes about the session in which Aretha recorded your song, Do Right Woman, was that it was a disaster at first.
It wasn't a disaster at first. It was a disaster later, but at first it was a wonderful session. Because they cut I Never Loved a Man, and it came off, well, you know, you heard it, it came off great.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a wonderful session. Everybody was joyful, and it was great. And then later, when everybody got to drinking a little too much, not me. Not that time. So I was just watching all the haps go down. And there were a few incidents that happened at the studio and then later on at the hotel. I didn't even go to the hotel, so I didn't see the main fight, but I understood about it. But, you know, by the time the second song they cut, they only cut two songs, Never Loved a Man and Do Right Woman. And I mean, she didn't have time to learn the song. So I had to do the song. I had to do the palate vocal in her key with only a spinner on the organ and a little guitar chink and a drum and a bass hitting every once in a while. It sounded awful when they left Alabama with it. And I had no hopes that that it would ever sound good at all. But later on, Chips and I came to New York, and we were at Atlantic Records, and Wexler, Jerry, said, Come back here with me, boys. I want to play you something. He took us back to the Atlantic studio, and he played Aretha's. She had gone in and played piano and sang so great, and her sisters. And it was a great moment in our lives, and probably one of the highest places I ever heard, you know, ever felt for me. It was so wonderful.
When you record demos for a performer who's going to do one of your songs, do you try to sing in their style?
No, at one time I might have, but anymore I just try to sing the song some kind of honest way, that the way I feel it. I try to be neutral, kind of. I try to undersing just a little bit.
Why?
Don't obscure them, you know.
Oh, so that they could feel, well, that's okay, but I'll show you how it really should be done.
Well, now, you know, if it's a black singer, I would do the best I could, because they can always do better. But a lot of white singers, you have to kind of underplay it, because, excuse me, a lot of them can't really sing as good as maybe they could, you know. I mean, you scare them. You hit some notes or some little trills that maybe only you can do at that time, and they love it, and they try to do it, and it don't come off, and then, you know, there goes your song down the drain.
Mm-hmm.
So I give them a neutral, hey, here's a song, do your own thing. I try not to interpret.
Now, you grew up in Vernon, Alabama, which is about 80 miles south of Muscle Shoals. Alabama was very segregated when you were growing up. So what was it like for you when you started working with black artists and becoming part of black culture? Was it all very different to you? Were you ever uncomfortable around black culture? Or did you feel very comfortable right from the start?
I felt comfortable right from the start, and I stayed comfortable right up until, until it was over.
Until what was over? Soul music?
Yeah. You know, I think when they killed Martin Luther King, it was over.
What changed for you when Martin Luther King was killed?
Well, what changed for me was, you know, the black folks didn't want to make records with white people anymore. And so, since I was white, that kind of cut me out. And when we found that out, you know, we basically didn't want to do business either, so it was a bad time.
Were there people who you had been very close with musically who you weren't able to work with anymore?
No, it wasn't like that. It was just like, it was like an invisible line. A curtain was drawn across the color line as far as recording. I mean, it's something you felt, it's something you knew.
In the days before the King assassination, were you ever self-conscious about being a white songwriter in soul music?
Well, you knew you were, but I wasn't alone. I mean, there's Cropper and, you know, all these other cats, Chips and Spooner and you name it. I mean, you know, they were Carole King. I mean, they were all around. But, no, it wasn't a self-conscious thing. It was like, hey, this is wonderful. But it wasn't like I'm not supposed to be here. It was like, oh, how lucky I am.
Right.
And it was fun.
Songwriter Dan Penn is my guest. You worked at studios in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and in Memphis. Was there a difference in the sound at both of those studios?
Yes, it was different. Subtle differences. I always say that it's the air. But I guess it's everything that's there, you know. I mean, I worked in Muscle Shoals at Fame. It had this really great basic sound. And then when I got to Memphis, I could tell a considerably different sound. It was a more exciting sound. I don't know how to say it except, you know, it's a river sound. And it's... Memphis is a lower level in altitude. So I always kind of think about altitudes for sounds. Memphis was lower, it was muddier, it was funkier, and it was even more fun. Nashville is higher up, and it's more clean, more pristine, you know, more managed, less fun. Muscle Shoals is right in the middle. It has some of the funky grubby about Memphis in it, but it also has some Nashville cleanness about it. So, you know, any of them sounds good, but Muscle Shoals was the place I chose when I decided to cut the record.
Dan Penn recorded in 1994. This is Fresh Air.